And welcome to this edition of the Healthy Planet radio program. My name is Bob DiBenedetto, your host for the best hour of your life. That's right, the one that's always in front of you, right now, whenever that happens to be. The Healthy Planet focuses on topics that will help to educate you about the deep connection among all life on Earth and the powerful effect your everyday choices can have on creating a clean, healthy, and compassionate world. And I am pleased to have on air with me this evening, Bettina Barbier. Bettina is a longtime colleague in working on health and environmental education with Healthy Planet and its predecessor. Thanks for joining us tonight, Bettina.
I'm very glad to be here, Bob.
So we're going to be discussing the big news over the last week, which is the passing of the president's big, environmentally devastating, nonsensical bill. And for the record, they called it, actually, the Big Beautiful Bill. But to me, calling it that is the equivalent of calling black white and day night. We cover issues from an environmental perspective on this show. And the impact of this bill on the environment is anything but beautiful for humans on this planet and for all other life as well. It is big and beautiful, however, for the big fossil fuel companies and for the very rich in this country. We'll be discussing a lot more of that in the coming hour. But before we talk about the actual bill, I think it's worth taking a couple of minutes to dwell on the question of how it is that we are in a place where a bill has been passed in Congress and signed by the president that hurts most Americans. Hurts our collective life support system and will contribute to the destabilization of our climate. How did that come to be? And the answer is, because of misinformation, outright lies, and the lure of power that have brought us to a place where some Americans support legislation that will actually, objectively, physically hurt them and their families, and where politicians vote for measures that hurt their constituents while serving the richest of the rich, all in order to gain and keep power in a government where dissent is not looked upon favorably. And to give you a very recent example of that, this isn't just theory. This is what we're experiencing right now. EPA officials recently wrote, some of them very senior, a letter opposing the big toxic bill. They did that because their expertise led them to believe that the bill was dangerous, that the bill was not in the best interest of the American public, that they were put there to protect. And instead of just telling you that the EPA wrote this letter, it's worth reading you the words from these EPA employees. And the letter really says it all. It goes like this. To Administrator Zeldin. And by the way, Lee Zeldin is the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And I will preface this by saying that he is someone who has zero experience working on environmental and health issues. In fact, his main credential is that in his legislative career, he voted against the environment 86% of the time. So he was put into this office with the credentials that he was anti-environmental. And now he's in charge of the agency that was put in place to protect human health. So starting the letter again. To Administrator Zeldin. Declaration of Dissent. EPA employees join in solidarity with employees across the federal government in opposing this administration's policies, including those that undermine the EPA mission of protecting human health and the environment. Since the agency's founding in 1970, EPA has accomplished this mission by leveraging science, funding, and expert staff in service to the American people. Today, we stand together in dissent against the current administration's focus on harmful deregulation, mischaracterization of previous EPA actions, and disregard for scientific expertise. Since January 2025, federal workers across the country have been denigrated and dismissed based on false claims of waste, fraud, and abuse. Meanwhile, Americans have witnessed the unraveling of public health and environmental protections in the pursuit of political advantage. Today, we come directly to you, Administrator Zeldin, and our elected officials, with the five concerns outlined below. We expect your deliberate consideration of these concerns and look forward to working with you to restore EPA's credibility as a premier scientific institution. Communities across America are counting on you to lead the Environmental Protection Agency in carrying out its mission.
Our shared commitment to protecting human health and the environment. Administrator Zeldin, at your Senate confirmation hearing, you committed to leading EPA in its simple but essential mission. You expressed gratitude that President-elect Trump had given you the opportunity to do everything in our power to harness the greatness of American innovation with the greatness of American conservation and environmental stewardship. You acknowledged the realities of climate change, the benefits of clean energy, the economic need for environmental justice, and the importance of protecting human health through smart regulation. Like you, EPA employees are committed to these principles. We call on you to reaffirm your testimony, honor your oath to the Constitution, and renew your commitment to become the environmental steward the public entrusted you to be.
I'll take a pause here and point out that this letter is written in a very respectful tone. What that last paragraph was actually saying, which you'll see as we continue reading this letter, is that there's a very big difference between how Lee Zeldin testified at the Senate confirmation hearings for him to become head of the EPA and the actions that he's taken as head of the EPA since that time. And so they're looking to hold him to account to live up to the words that he agreed to and stated in the Senate confirmation hearings. So just to clarify that, the letter goes on stating our five primary concerns. Under your leadership, Administrator Zeldin, this administration is recklessly undermining the EPA mission, including in these five critical areas. One, undermining public trust. EPA's nonpartisan nature ensures that all Americans, regardless of political affiliation, are served by an agency guided by scientific expertise, professional integrity, and an unwavering commitment to the public good. For over five decades, EPA's strength has come from its commitment to science-based decision-making. However, under this administration, the agency's communication platforms have been used to promote misinformation and overtly partisan rhetoric. For example, EPA press releases and the, quote, call it a comeback, unquote, newsletter have referred to EPA grants as, quote, green slush funds, unquote, and praised, quote, clean coal as beautiful, unquote. The Office of the Administrator has used official EPA channels to liken citizen climate to a religion, issue attacks against individual members of Congress, and criticize former presidents. These communications are partisan and scientifically unsound. The Office of the Administrator may have violated the Hatch Act by using EPA's official website and social media to promote political initiatives such as President Trump's tariffs and the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. This politicized messaging distracts from EPA's core responsibility to protect human health and the environment through objective, science-based policy. And I'll step in here to make another point about this letter. This is a letter written by EPA employees to Lee Zeldin, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. The point I wanted to make is that Lee Zeldin charges that the agency is partisan because they're always pushing the climate stuff and the pollution stuff. But Mr. Zeldin, speaking the truth that is backed by scientific evidence and the truth that saves lives is not partisan. And it's not partisan simply because you don't agree with it and it doesn't back your agenda and your misinformed perception of the fact that climate change is not real and that the environment doesn't matter. By the way, we have a long history with Lee Zeldin. He was from Long Island prior to going to the Environmental Protection Agency. And because of his environmental policies, we celebrated when he left Long Island. We celebrated when he lost the governor's race in New York State. And then this happened, where he's got the power to impact so many people's health and the environment across our nation. It boggles my mind that someone like this could be leading this agency. A real-life example of the fox guarding the henhouse. You're listening to Bob DiBenedetto and Bettina Barbier on WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook. And now back to the letter of dissent from EPA employees to Lee Zeldin, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Number two.
Ignoring scientific consensus to benefit polluters. This administration's actions directly contradict EPA's own scientific assessments on human health risks, most notably regarding asbestos, mercury, and greenhouse gases.
Health-based regulatory standards are being repealed or reconsidered, including drinking water limits for four PFAS forever chemicals that cause cancer.
Under your leadership, Administrator Zeldin, EPA is promoting the fossil fuel-powered auto industry while simultaneously stripping away support for cleaner electric vehicles. You are supporting new technologies such as artificial intelligence without addressing its intense consumption of environmental resources. The decisions of the current administration frequently contradict the peer-reviewed research and recommendations of agency experts. Such contradiction undermines EPA's reputation as a trusted scientific authority. Make no mistake, your actions endanger public health and erode scientific progress, not only in America, but around the world.
That last line bears repeating. This is EPA scientists in a dissent letter to Lee Zeldin, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Make no mistake, they say to him, your actions endanger public health and erode scientific progress, not only in America, but around the world. Number three, reversing EPA's progress in America's most vulnerable communities. Research overwhelmingly shows that the country's most vulnerable communities, including Black communities and other communities of color, poor communities, disabled communities, LGBTQIA plus communities, and historically overburdened and underserved rural and urban communities are consistently exposed to disproportionate environmental and climate burdens. EPA's environmental justice program, one that you have effectively dismantled, was addressing this disparity by funding states, cities, and communities all around the country through extensive grants programs and technical assistance. Now these same communities are the ones most at risk for losing federal funding. Since January 2025, EPA has placed the vast majority of environmental justice staff on administrative leave, canceled billions of dollars in grants to communities, and removed a valuable mapping analysis tool that enabled EPA and others to work towards environmental equity. Canceling environmental justice programs is not cutting waste. It is failing to serve the American people. And I will add another note here that this is something that we've discussed many times on this show, that actually taking action for environmental justice is absolutely necessary, because at the core of administrators and politicians ignoring people who live in vulnerable communities, at the core of that is the fact that these politicians know that they will never have to suffer from the actions that they're taking, because they will cite pollution-causing industries in these vulnerable communities, and they and their families will never have to suffer from breathing in the fumes or drinking the water. It becomes very easy for people in Congress to create legislation that does damage to specific communities who don't have a voice in stopping that pollution. And that's why environmental justice programs are needed, and why it has nothing to do, and should have nothing to do, with partisan politics.
Number four, dismantling the Office of Research and Development. EPA's research provides the scientific basis for its rulemaking, stakeholder needs, and other key decisions. U.S. law states that the EPA administrator shall establish a separately identified program of continuing long-term environmental research and development, which is currently led by the Office of Research and Development, or ORD. Your administration has proposed a reorganization that moves EPA's foundational research to the administrator's office and reassigns ORD's research staff to the program offices, a move that places ORD scientists in regulatory program offices will make EPA science more vulnerable to political interference. In addition, the gutting of staff and science in your proposed budget cuts for the coming year will leave ORD unable to meet the science needs of the EPA and its partners, and will threaten the health of all Americans.
Five, promoting a culture of fear, forcing staff to choose between their livelihood and well-being. OMB Director Russell Vaught has stated that he wants EPA employees to be in a constant state of trauma and unable to do their jobs. And Russell Vaught, by the way, is the director of the Office of Management and Budget for Donald Trump. We'll tell you more about him after you hear his words. Quoting Vaught, "When they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work, because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry. We want to put them in trauma." End quote. Administrator Zeldin, you have done your best to ensure that employees have no recourse against these assaults by nullifying bargaining agreements and refusing to negotiate. In addition, your administration has fired or forced onto administrative leave several categories of employees, including those responsible for environmental justice and those managing diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, DEIA, initiatives. Your administration has also targeted probationary employees, including a range of students and recent graduates, whom U.S. District Judge William Alsup has called the lifeblood of the government. Since January 2025, your administration has offered multiple rounds of resignation and retirement options. Of the employees who accepted your contractual agreements, few accepted without extenuating circumstances, such as immediate financial concern, fear of their position being eliminated, or concerns about changes to their retirement, among others. These actions directly undermine EPA's capacity to fulfill its mission. We, the undersigned, call on you publicly today to honor your responsibility to EPA and to the American people by advancing our mission of safeguarding human health and the environment. The next section of this letter is entitled Delivering on Your Duty to EPA and the Public.
Your decisions and actions will reverberate for generations to come. EPA, under your leadership, will not protect communities from hazardous chemicals and unsafe drinking water, but instead will increase risks to public health and safety.
Administrator Zeldin, we urge you to honor your oath and serve the American people. Going forward, you have the opportunity to correct course. Should you choose to do so, we stand ready to support your efforts to fulfill EPA's mission.
Who we are. This declaration was written and signed by EPA employees across offices, regions, and labs in our personal capacity, on our own time, and without agency resources. We are devoted to EPA's mission to protect human health and the environment. Administrator Zeldin, we share your stated goal of wanting every child in this nation, including your own, to, and I quote, inherit a world with clean air, clean water, and a thriving economy, end quote. We are civil servants who are dedicated to responsibly managing public resources to drive innovative, high-impact research to create and implement the country's environmental regulations and solve environmental challenges. We want to work together, not to power the great American comeback, but to launch America into a safer, healthier, and thriving future.
We sign this declaration both as concerned citizens and dedicated civil servants. In addition to the named signers, we include anonymous signers and speak for countless others at EPA who share our concerns, but who choose not to sign their names for fear of retaliation. And that's the end of the letter. I mean, right off the bat, starting with that last sentence, there are countless others at the EPA who share their concerns, but who choose not to sign their names for fear of retaliation. Here are scientists speaking out, saying that the science is being ignored, the science that is protecting, it was meant to protect the American public, is being ignored in favor of industries. And because they're saying this publicly, they fear retaliation. This is the kind of government that we have today. This is something that's very frightening in many different ways.
It's terrifying to think what's going to happen 5 or 10 years down the road because of this.
It absolutely is. And that's why they were speaking out now, despite the fact that they had reason to fear. Because can you guess what happened to these EPA experts and employees who signed this letter?
They were put on administrative leave.
Immediately. And some were given just minutes to vacate their offices. We're not talking about big bad government's conspiracy theories here. The bill we're now going to have to live with represents an affront to Americans, to our environment, to future generations. And the people who are courageous enough to come forth with this letter have been put on administrative leave, immediate retribution.
They are heroes. These scientists who signed their name to this letter are heroes.
They are heroes because one of the problems that is, actually, I say one of the problems, but I would say the main problem that we've been experiencing after isolating the fact that we have someone at the top of our government who cares nothing for the environment or health, the problem that we have after that is that everyone else has been complicit in our government, in Congress, I should say all the Republicans, because they are unwilling to call out the things that Donald Trump is doing, not only to our health and the environment, but to so many other issues that have to do with the actual validity of the Constitution. They know what's going on. I can't believe that everybody in Congress in one particular party is so uninformed or misinformed to not know about the deadly toll that pollution and climate change are taking on our planet. Not to mention so many other environmental issues, ranging from clean water to resource depletion to land use, on and on. They have to know. And yet, they are choosing to be complicit in order to hold on to power. And of course, for fear of retaliation.
There's not just fear of retaliation, but they stand to benefit from Trump. These are wealthy people, and everything Trump does plays into their hands and saves them money or gets them extra money.
And the only interest they have in taking the position of Donald Trump and Lee Zeldin instead of the EPA scientists, the only thing that benefits is their desire to maintain power. Because again, if you take issue with this government, even if they're pushing forth very damaging and dangerous policies, if you take issue with that, you're going to be on the chopping block. They're going to primary you. They're going to threaten you. They're going to do whatever they can to ruin your career and make you feel unsafe. Just as Vought was saying that they were trying to make all of those EPA administrators feel fearful to come to work. What kind of government is this?
Well, let's not forget that Russell Vought is the person who brought us Project 2025.
And we warned you We're not going to say we told you so, but we have to say it. We have to say it because we certainly did tell you so. That Project 2025 was not something over there that wasn't important, as Donald Trump said it was. It has become central to the backbone of our governments and the actions that they're taking today. Not to mention the small fact that Trump's director of the Office of Management and Budget is a Project 2025 co-author. And that is a bit frightening as well.
And it wasn't something Donald Trump didn't know about, even though that's what he claimed.
No, absolutely not. And the proof of that is in Donald Trump's own words. He actually said of the Heritage Foundation, who created Project 2025, and this was actually recorded in 2022 at a speech at the Heritage Foundation. I'm quoting Donald Trump here. They're going to lay the groundwork and detail plans for exactly what our movement will do. End quote. That was Donald Trump again, speaking about the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025. But then, as the election drew nearer, people started finding out about Project 2025, and they weren't liking what they were hearing. It was scaring some people. And he was asked about it in the debate with Kamala Harris in September of 2024. And here's what he said in that debate. Quote, this is Donald Trump. I have nothing to do with Project 2025. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. End quote. But now we are Project 2025, and the assault on the environment is part of what they are about.
Let us not forget, by the way, that this is but one small part of that big, awful bill. As horrible as it is, there are so many other things going on. Steve Bannon advocated throwing stuff like this at us at what he called muzzle velocity, so that so many things would be coming at us so fast that we don't know what to respond to first. And that's a tactic.
And that has been incredibly effective. I've got to give them credit. I mean, I think their intentions are horrible. And obviously, on the environment and health issues, they have been just beyond off the charts in terms of the bottom of the charts, where you would expect them to be if they cared. But they have been doing a really good job, I've got to give it to them, of keeping us confused. Keeping us focused on the headline of the day, which makes it virtually impossible to answer everything and expose everything that they're doing on a day-to-day basis. I would never have thought that they could be so successful in doing that.
We need to be strategic in our response, which I believe that everybody needs to identify. Start with the thing that bothers you the most, the thing that you care about the most, and really focus on it. And don't let the 15 things that just flew by in the headlines that freaked you out also stop you from picking up the phone and making an impassioned statement to your elected officials about how you feel and the fact that you will vote based upon what they do relative to the issue that you care about.
Yeah, take on those things that make you feel alive when you do them. You know, you want to be empowered, you want to be active, and you don't want to feel overwhelmed. But their way of doing this is designed to make us feel overwhelmed. And again, they're good at it, but the antidote is to choose your battle. But be active. We need to be active. We all need to be talking about this. When someone talks about the big, beautiful bill, say, this is a very big, ugly, toxic bill for the environment. And we'll get more into that momentarily. This is Bob DiBenedetto. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook, to the Healthy Planet radio program. And the reason why this bill is so bad, in addition to Project 2025's influence, Donald Trump was branded as the worst environmental president in the history of this country. J.D. Vance, the vice president, his environmental voting record was 0%. That means he voted against the environment and health 100% of the time. Many other Republicans in Congress also have 0% or 5% lifetime environmental voting records. It's a scary thing. And it makes me wonder, again, I've mentioned this before on this show, and this isn't limited to Republicans now. Right now, the Republicans are the villains for the environment and health. But I always ask, don't they have children? Don't they understand that it's not just people who voted for Democrats that are going to be suffering from the clueless, misinformed, or malintentioned actions that they're taking? Don't they understand we're all getting that? And the younger you are, the more likely you are to suffer from that? So what are these people's relationships with their kids? Many of them purport to be pro-life, but they are acting in about as anti-life a way as one can imagine, considering the fact that in America, if I were to tell you that there's something that we could do for our health and the environment that could reduce some of the hundreds of thousands of deaths that we're suffering from a particular cause, right? You'd say, well, of course we want to do that if it's something that we can have control over and if something we can change. Well, the fact is that hundreds of thousands of people in the United States die from air pollution every single year. And that would be a tragedy and something that we would just have to groan about and, you know, deal with. However, a good portion of it is preventable. And these people are saying, no, we don't care about those lives. We don't care about doing this preventative action. And we're ending up in a place where they're voting against the American public.
But they're also lying. They're telling people that that is not the case. The news that many Trump supporters watch and listen to doesn't bring this out as a problem. They tell untruths and say that we are being alarmist. But we know, the EPA knows, that we need to be concerned about these things.
Right. It's like saying there's a school bus going off the end of a cliff, and you guys are over there screaming about it and making us all frantic about it. Now, how do we know there's a school bus going there? Well, we have cameras showing the school bus. We have the best vehicle experts telling us that the school bus is heading toward the edge. We have the best geologists telling us that this is a very deadly cliff should they go off the end. And they've been talking about this for years. And yet some people are still arguing, oh no, there's no danger to the school bus. Inquiring minds have to ask, what are you basing that complacency on? But I saw a guy on TV who said there wasn't any danger for that school bus. And so you ask, who was that guy you saw on TV? Oh, I don't know. And yet you're choosing to believe that guy you saw on TV over what all the experts are saying. Very interesting. I want to take a moment here to differentiate between people who are putting out the misinformation and the home consumers of the misinformation. The home consumers of the misinformation are victims. I mean, I could ask people to be held to a higher level of accountability and what they listen to and how they check out their sources, but nonetheless, they're victims. A certain number of people have that ability and the resources to do it, but a certain percentage of people don't. They take in what they see on TV and they accept it as the truth because that's the only resource they have to ascertain the truth. But the people in power know better. They have the resources to differentiate between the truth and lies. And when it comes to things as important, as weighty as our environment, they certainly do owe it to the world, being in their position of leadership, to learn the facts. But they haven't done that. They simply haven't done that. I'll also mention that there is one group of people who are not total victims, but also not entirely culpable. Somewhere in between. And those are people who are educated, who have the resources, and who share things online with other people they know or other people who follow them. When the things that they share are blatantly untrue, when that is discoverable with a 1 to 3 minute internet search. Those people, I think, are at the root of a lot of the problems that we're experiencing in terms of there being mass belief in things that simply aren't true. So I just wanted to hang a little bit of guilt on those people. And on that humorous, while being very serious note, we're going to move on to actually looking at this big toxic bill. And the way we're going to do that is by reading an article in the Sierra, which is the magazine of the Sierra Club, from July 3rd, 2025. It's entitled Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, Most Anti-Environment Bill in History. The legislation is poised to decimate clean energy programs while giving tax cuts to billionaires. Republicans in Congress have delivered a big legislative victory for President Donald Trump, but environmental and public health advocates warn it will come at an enormous cost to the health of millions of Americans, their jobs and livelihoods, and the ongoing fight against runaway climate change.
The Senate voted this week by a razor-thin 51-50 margin to pass the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill Act, a massive reconciliation package that is expected to add over $3 trillion to the U.S. budget deficit while slashing nutrition assistance and access to health care, while also gutting investments in green energy and climate initiatives. The bill needed a tie-breaking vote from Vice President J.D. Vance to pass the Senate. The House passed the bill 2 days later by an equally thin margin. Critics say the mega bill is the most regressive, anti-environment piece of legislation in U.S. history, one that will destroy clean energy jobs, increase fossil fuel pollution, and raise electricity prices, and abandon working class families in favor of tax breaks for billionaires and corporations.
Colin Reese, United States campaigns manager at Oil Change International, said, "This disastrous bill is the largest ever transfer of wealth from working class people to the wealthy. It strips health care from 17 million people, forces kids to go to school hungry, allows corporations to further pollute our air and water, destroys thousands of clean energy jobs, and puts us at greater risk from climate disasters, all to pay for tax cuts for billionaires and handouts to the big oil CEOs who bought access to Trump."
Before the legislation passed the House, public health experts warned that Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act will have devastating consequences for children, seniors, people with cancer, and local communities.
Harold Wimmer, president and CEO of the American Lung Association, said, "If enacted, the cuts to Medicare and parts of the Affordable Care Act will result in more than 17 million people losing health care coverage. This will increase uncompensated care, lead rural hospitals to close, destabilize our nation's entire healthcare system, and increase healthcare costs for all of us. The cuts to clean air programs paired with greater investments in the build-out of fossil fuel sources will increase air pollution, cause more asthma attacks in kids, and result in families paying more for utilities."
Public pressure helped beat back several provisions in the bill, including a forced sale of millions of acres of public lands and a new excise tax on wind and solar. But overall, the legislation further boosts fossil fuels, the root cause of the worsening climate emergency, while undermining clean energy and efforts to reduce pollution.
Patrick Drupp, director of climate policy for the Sierra Club, stated, "It is not an overstatement to say this is the most anti-environment bill in history."
The bill will decimate the Inflation Reduction Act, the largest climate and clean energy investment in U.S. history, by cutting incentives and funding for renewable energy and clean energy technologies like heat pumps and electric vehicles. It eliminates the tax credit for electric vehicles, ends the advanced manufacturing tax credits for clean energy and batteries, including wind turbines, and slashes tax credits for solar and wind projects. The bill also repeals residential clean energy tax credits that help homeowners install renewable energy systems like rooftop solar, and it acts as an incentives for home energy efficiency upgrades like weatherization.
By stifling clean energy, which is the fastest growing and cheapest source of electricity, the legislation is projected to reduce additional power capacity and raise electricity costs. Generation capacity could fall by 340 gigawatts, and consumer utility rates may rise by 10 to 18% over the next 10 years, according to one analyst. And hundreds of thousands of jobs in the clean energy sector are expected to be lost.
This measure props up the dirty and expensive technologies of the past while strangling the clean energy investments that are creating millions of jobs across the country, said Manish Bapna, president of Natural Resources Defense Council. At a time when we need new energy more than ever, Republicans are punishing the plentiful wind and solar power that can be quickly added to the grid.
Abigail Ross Hopper, president and CEO of the Solar Energy Industries Association, warned the legislation will saddle families with higher electric bills and take away families' ability to choose the energy saving, energy resilience, and energy freedom that solar and storage provide.
In advancing the legislation, Republicans were working against their own stated priorities, Tripp said. They said they were going to bring back manufacturing jobs, and this bill would cut manufacturing jobs. They said they were going to lower electricity rates. This bill will clearly increase electricity rates, he told Sierra. It's all in service of tax cuts for the ultra wealthy and to further the interests of the fossil fuel industry.
The industry stands to benefit with more handouts and favors from reduced royalty rates and required leasing of 4 million acres of federal lands for coal mining to facilitate expansion of oil and gas drilling. The bill mandates regular onshore and offshore oil and gas lease sales, opening up ecologically sensitive public lands and waters to drilling. Wind and solar development on federal lands, on the other hand, would be subject to new fees under the legislation.
George Benjamin, executive director of the American Public Health Association, called the bill a heartless effort that ensures our air is less safe to breathe and borrows from our kids' and grandkids' future by driving up the deficit. This bill destroys America, but does make the very rich even richer at the expense of all, he said in a statement.
The bill also extends a tax credit to production of metallurgical coal, primarily used in steelmaking, even if that production occurs outside of the U.S. It cripples a program intended to crack down on methane emissions by suspending collection of a waste emissions charge on polluters. And it raises the tax credit level for carbon capture and storage projects that involve enhanced oil recovery, a type of drilling using carbon dioxide to stimulate oil production. According to one analysis, the oil and gas industry is poised to receive $18 billion in new handouts over the next 10 years with the extended carbon capture subsidy and other incentives.
Fossil fuel industry trade associations, including the National Mining Association, American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, and the American Petroleum Institute, all issued statements applauding the Senate's passage of the reconciliation package.
Climate campaigners, however, slammed the move by Republicans to advance the legislation, arguing it will harm Americans and unleash more climate change devastation.
Climate pollution will increase. Kids will struggle with asthma and other respiratory problems, and more people will suffer from devastating extreme weather catastrophes, said Margie Ault, director of the Climate Action Campaign. This travesty of a bill benefits only billionaires at the cost of every other person in this country.
And that was, once again, the article from Sierra Magazine entitled Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, Most Anti-Environment Bill in History. So we just heard this rundown with quotes from several people from environmental and health organizations. And as I'm reading it, I'm partially in disbelief because it makes so little sense in so many different ways. For a political party who is always saying they want to increase energy production, they're creating a bill that punishes the fastest growing energy providers in our nation. And as was mentioned in this article, the cheapest and cleanest energy is being punished. And why would you do that? If you were looking to increase energy independence, the best way to do that is by promoting homegrown energy. That is energy that's created in the United States, puts United States workers to work in local energy production, and you're not exporting that energy. When you increase oil production, that is going to be going into the world market, and it's not going to impact American energy and jobs as much as energy efficiency and clean energy. And on that note, energy efficiency is penalized as well. Whereas that is the cheapest form of energy production, while you're not producing energy, you're creating, instead of megawatts, you're creating negawatts. That is negative energy demand. And in effect, you're actually creating more energy. And it puts the most people to work by far. If they're interested in putting people to work, they would be promoting energy efficiency. They would be promoting clean energy, which puts way more people to work than the oil and coal industries. And it produces still a relatively minor portion of American energy. So it makes no sense, except that they have a seeming vendetta against anything that's clean and good for our health, or they're doing whatever they possibly can do to bend backwards to benefit the dirty fuel industry.
That's all I see. I don't see a will to put people to work. I don't see a will to create more energy. I think that they want to create a far more desperate working class. I think that they want to make as much money off of fossil fuels as it is humanly possible to make at the cost of everything else.
So it has nothing to do with putting people to work or making America energy independent. And that's all they've been saying. We need energy independence. We need all of the above. But that's clearly not what their interest is.
No, they say what they think will get them elected. And then they do the things that they want to do. And they are unapologetic about it. I don't think they think very highly of the American people.
Well, we're talking about, as the spokesperson from the American Lung Association stated, we're going to increase air pollution, cause more asthma attacks in kids, and we're talking about millions of people suffering from this, not to mention, as I mentioned before, the hundreds of thousands that die from air pollution. We're talking about millions of people being sickened. It just makes no sense from a perspective of government acting in an enlightened way and promoting the well-being of the American public, which is what they're supposed to be doing.
Thank you. But that's not what they want. And until the 2026 midterm elections, we can call them, let them know that we don't like this, let them know that we see through the untrue things that they are saying.
When you call your representative, you can ask them, why did they support the most anti-environment bill in history? A simple question. If you voted for this bill, what were you thinking? Because I watch the news and I watch the quote unquote news from people who are supporting this administration. They're making it look so good. I can imagine if I only watched those channels, I would be saying, well, I love this bill. It's great for America. It's going to jumpstart our economy. When the truth of it is that it relies upon trickle-down economics that doesn't work. And of course, it's the most disastrous bill for our life support system in history.
Also, while you're talking to them, let them know that you look at how they vote and you vote based on how your elected officials cast their votes. And if they are not supporting us, we need to let them know that we will not support them, because rule number one is get reelected.
That's it. And not only is this acting against our health and against our jobs, but it's also going to cost Americans with higher energy bills. And it's going to take away the savings that many of us are currently enjoying. I have a fully solar geothermal home. It's not Republican or Democrat to have zero energy bills or near zero energy bills. It's just something that we should all aspire to and something that the government should help us create. Taking away money to help disadvantaged people to make their homes more energy efficient so they can save money month after month, year after year. What exactly is the benefit in taking away those funds? And again, who's benefiting from all that?
We know it's the fossil fuel
We
industry.
know. Yeah,
We
that
know
we
it.
know. That's very clear. And of course, those people who may rely upon donations by the fossil fuel industry to get elected. It's just simply, again, I'm repeating myself here, but I'm in disbelief every time I look at the details of this bill that this could be supported by an entire political party and sold as something that's beneficial to us.
And we're only looking at a small part of this bill. It's going to hurt in so many other ways. Education. The children of today aren't going to be educated to have a lot of the opportunities that younger people now have.
It's also being called the largest transfer of wealth in this country's history from those people who don't have money to those people who have an enormous amount of money, which is exactly opposite of what we need to do in terms of leveling out the great income disparities in this country. You're listening to the Healthy Planet radio program on WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook. And with all the bad news that we've been discussing and all the disheartening commentary on human nature of those people who choose to be elected officials, we really need to end with some solutions. And of course, some of the solutions are obvious. That is, vote for people who represent your values.
And know that sitting at home on election day is not an option. It's up to you to get yourself out and to bring as many people with you as you can.
Additionally, in your daily lives, of course, you've heard over and over and over again on this show, make choices that reflect your values. Eco-friendly options in your choice of everything from appliances to clothing to foods, eating foods lower on the food chain, so you're creating less environmental devastation across the planet, as you well know from listening to this show.
There are two things that I think are very important right now. We can call our elected officials, which I know a lot of people find very daunting, but there is an app that can help. It's called Five Calls, just the number five and the word calls. It's a free app, and it will tell you who your elected officials are, give you their contact info, identify the issues, and will even give you a script that you can either follow or rewrite to your own liking, that makes it a lot easier to make those phone calls, which I know can be a little intimidating. The other thing is, please demonstrate. Go to mobilize.us, look up your local demonstrations and events, connect with others, call your elected officials and demonstrate, please.
Speak to your family, speak to your friends if possible. We all hear different sources of information, and that can make discussions very difficult. But if you have the opportunity, let them know what you know.
Additionally, just because this bill passed doesn't mean that they're all going to go unchallenged. There are a number of really amazing organizations that are fighting legally to stop the injustices that are happening in the environment and in other areas, from the NRDC to Earth Justice to the Environmental Defense Fund. The League of Conservation Voters is educating voters. So look for groups that you can support who are going to potentially make a difference, even though it's a very difficult atmosphere, and even if the top of the government is pushing us in the wrong direction. And despite all the bad news and the negative tone that we've had on this show, there's another thing that's important to do. And that's to take care of yourself and give yourself some joy. While all this is going on, it can be very depressing. One can feel very defeated. And as Bettina mentioned before, because they're flooding the zone with so much bad news, it's hard to focus in on it and even think that there are possible solutions. With all that said, it's important to remember that this is our one life. We can't replace this year in our life. We can't replace these 4 years in our lives. So while you're not focusing on creating solutions, enjoy life. Get out and enjoy the nature that we're protecting. Look, the damages that they're creating in our planet, they are really devastating. But when you go outside tomorrow, it's the same outside pretty much as it was yesterday. Things are declining, but your ecosystem is still the magical place that it was yesterday, that it was last year. So appreciate that, because appreciation is a great driver and a great motivator. Breathe in the air. Feel the sunshine on your skin. Enjoy the beautiful animals that are surrounding. I see rabbits, I see deer, hawks, owls, squirrels, birds of all kinds. And I take joy in everyone that I see. Insects, do the same. That's a balance to all of the heavy work that we need to do to protect our ecosystem. Also, really consider getting out, going to meetings where other people are working with you to create solutions. Volunteer on the solutions. Volunteer with organizations who have a mission that you believe in. When you do that, I think you'll see that there is a celebratory atmosphere. When we're alone, we can get weighted down by all the heavy things that are happening in the world. But when you get together with others and you see that there are many other people who are like-minded, who feel the same about protecting our natural world, it brings joy naturally. I find that it does. And I think that has been the experience of pretty much everyone that I've been seeing in recent months in those collaborative atmospheres. The demonstrations I've been to feel like parties. They feel like celebrations. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this evening's show. Thank you, Bettina Barbier, for joining us.
As always, a pleasure, Bob. I always enjoy helping put these issues before more people.
As do I. And you've been listening to Bob DiBenedetto and Bettina Barbier on the Healthy Planet radio program on WUSB 90.1 FM. Join us again by tuning in on the second Friday of each month at 6 p.m. When I'm not here, be sure to listen to Natural Alternatives, our lineup with great hosts from Dr. Z to Courtney Bozick to John Scardina, and more, sharing cutting-edge information on health, our environments, social justice issues, and more. That's every week, Fridays at 6 p.m. For more information on Healthy Planet, visit our website at www.healthyplanetusa.org. And if you'd like to be informed of upcoming shows or to access past shows, like our Facebook page, which is at Healthy Planet USA. Until next time, stay strong, relax, make your voice heard in this world by continuing to speak up for what's right. Consider being kind to those around you, including our amazing four or multi-legged friends. And finally, remember to enjoy each moment of existence on this beautiful planet that we all share. Good night.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.